Brother Painter, I want to acknowledge your teaching this morning. I was going through a very trying time, and I got with the Lord, and he blessed me. I went for a drive past some friends, and they were having a beer party. And I just stopped and rolled down the window and looked in the garage, and a couple of them looked real strange. And they come to me and they said, "You're different. You've come to know the Lord." And it brought rebuke on them. And the party suddenly just ended. Everybody disappeared. So I, not diligently, but started seeking the scriptures, and things happened. I had to move, and I did different things, and I got a little more into the Bible. And with my carnal mind, you know, I thought I had it figured out. I spent about 5 years studying, and you know, the Lord blessed me in some of the things I did. They were public service jobs that, you know, I thought was pretty good, and I advanced and then disadvanced. Moved to Arkansas, and I don't know why, but I did. And then I thought I had a good job, and I went to see my children before I come, you know, started to work. Well, thanks to a couple of angry wives and a judge, I went to prison. Well, you know, the life expectancy of a public servant in prison is 24 to 48 hours. I was horrified. I got with the Lord. He gave me the Holy Ghost in prison before I went to prison. The only form of self-defense I had in prison was God. I didn't spend a night without sleep. I was never harmed. I advanced through without bad time, come back out. When the Lord blessed me with the Holy Ghost, he gave me a multitude of dreams. And when I came back to Arkansas, the roommate that I had, when I left, he had a big dog. And we weren't cat people. But he had a cat when I came home. In my dream, I had a cat. I dreamed about a cat with no tail. Well, this cat had a tail, so I didn't think anything of it. But it had a kitten that had no tail. There was a confirmation. And many other things happened. He showed me the woman I was to have as a wife. Twice, when I saw her, she had lied about her. And I'm married to her. And then we discussed scriptures. She wouldn't give me a direct answer, but she told me where I could go to find the answers. I come here on an errand one night, walked in the foyer, and the Spirit fell on me. I knew this is where I was to come. I've been here over 20 years. I've been fed every time I've come to service, and when I just visited with brothers. The Lord has blessed me, and I haven't seen all the blessings, but they were working in me. I'm thrilled to death to be where I'm at. I'm thrilled to hear what I'm hearing. I know there's more to come. Truth is being unveiled daily through this body. I pray that I get as much truth in my heart and I can live the truth that is being taught. I'm blessed. Thank God. Bless you all.
Thank the Lord. We are blessed. We're blessed to be in the house of God. We're blessed to have been called to this church, to this people. We're happy to have Brother Silas Upshaw with us here today. He's with us in Bible study, and we were able to break bread and the Word of God, and we're glad he's here today. There's several that are out today, and we'll take prayer here in a little bit, and remember those. Brother Durham especially is not feeling good today, so we want to remember him. He's suffering with a headache. The desire of our heart oftentimes conflicts with God's desire for us. And just like the song Sister Stewart sang for us, the conflict brings, you know, it brings indecision or it brings anxiety or frustration and what can seem to be like a parched desert, you know, dry land. And that's why it's so important for all of us to come out to the house of God and sing and testify and fellowship and work with each other. Because, you know, your down day may be my up day or my, you know, my down day. You may be up and ready to go. I mean, in Bible study, we had Paul and Silas. I didn't know if they were going to sing a song or what. I was kind of waiting for the walls to come down, for the jail doors to open up. And as a family, you know, it's just like even in our home, as a family, some days are good for some and some days are good for others. And on, you know, some occasions, we're all in a good mood. And, you know, somebody said, everybody I'm with today is against me. Me, myself, and I. You know, some people just can't be happy. They're at odds with themselves. But hey, it happens. But we know that even in the throes of despair and the most, sounds like Anne of Green Gables. The depths of despair, even in the most trying and desperate times in our life. See, y'all don't, I'd watch some of those things. I got three daughters and a loving wife. Even the most desperate times in our life, the Lord has never given up on us. And he never will. Oh, there'll come a day, you know, there'll come a judgment day. But, you know, he said that there's more hope for a live dog than there is for a dead lion. So, you know, what's that old saying, live to fight another day? Sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes you're living to fight another day. Even, you know, when your things aren't going your way or, you know, whatever it is that has, you know, brought confusion in your life. Sometimes you just have to stand. And the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And the Lord told Moses, he said, stand and see the salvation. Stand and see the Lord work out His salvation in your life. There's a scripture in the 18th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 18:15 said, the heart of the prudent man getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift, or a woman's gift, maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. Notice this next verse. It says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor come and searcheth him. He that is first in his own cause. You know, if I'm not careful on my down day, you know, if that exists, Brother Crafton, if I'm not careful whenever I'm in the mully grubs, I'll be seeking my own cause. I'll be trying to please, you know, trying to, you know, get myself lifted up, get my spirits higher, or, you know, the old saying is, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But, you know, sometimes we can become so focused on our own problems, our own things, our own circumstances, that we become consumed with ourselves. We become self-absorbed. And it says that he that is first is his own cause. It seems just. It seems like a good idea. You're taking care of your business. You know, you're taking care of your whatever it is that you know you deem worthy of investing in or taking the time to participate in. But I found in my life that there's been times where God would bring a halt to my cause. And, of course, in this case, it said that his neighbor searcheth him. Now, there's been times that even my wife said, hey, wait a minute. You know, you can't buy that, or what about this? We've got somewhere to go. You can't do what you want to do. Or there's been times I've even counseled with Brother Smith about going different places. And he said, well, you know, you could, but, you know, have you considered this? And so it says, he that searcheth his own cause seemeth just, and there's been times in my life where the Lord has brought a halt. You know, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. There's been times in my life where the Lord has said, no, or put a stumbling block in my path. You know, there's been times I've crawled over that stumbling block and kept on going and regretted it. I wasn't very wise. I understand that. You know, it's kind of like the hot stove. Or, you know, a locked cabinet door. You know, like with our kids, we could put, you know, how people do, you put locks on the cabinet doors. You can tell them don't touch the hot stove. Well, they're still going to touch it. You can put the locks on the cabinet doors and they're still going to try to jimmy them open. Because they're curious. You know, the old saying is, curiosity killed the cat. They seem just, but mama come along and said, whoa, stop. You know, and you slap their hand or, you know, swat their bottom or whatever is required to correct them. I think I read a bit of a study the other day that said there isn't a mammal alive that doesn't correct its child with a little bit of pain. It's interesting. perspective. Even a dolphin, something as harmless as a dolphin, a mother dolphin will correct her baby. So there's been times that I've just crawled right over that stumbling block. God, you know, another day, I'm not in the mood. You ever talk to God that way? Don't answer that question, but I'll tell you I do sometimes. So, well, you know, you may not be in a mood now, but when I get done with you, or when you get done with yourself, you're going to be in a mood, you know. You're going to wish you had of. But that first verse that I read, the 15th, said, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Well, y'all have heard that saying, knowledge is power, right? And knowledge is power. Understanding, get knowledge, get understanding of the knowledge that you've gleaned. A lot of kids go to college, they get full of knowledge. They don't have understanding. A lot of kids go to college, they get full of knowledge, but they don't have the understanding on how to apply that knowledge. That's where experience comes in. Then they get a job. Through that job, applying that knowledge, they get an understanding of why they, you know, learned, you know, the various aspects of their career that they pursued. And then after they get that knowledge and they get an understanding of how everything kind of fits together, then they learn the wisdom. They learn how to use it. They learn how to apply it. They learn how to make it grow or benefit. But the beginning of it all is to seek knowledge. And just like Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and ye shall find." And he said, if you're hungry, he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Well, do you know if you hunger and thirst after knowledge, you'll be filled too. If you hunger and thirst after whatever interests you, that's what you're going to be filled with. But just like that song Sister Stewart's saying, there's things in the world that they amount to nothing more than just husk. You know, you take the husk of a corn, you don't cook that and eat it. They feed it to cattle. I used to work for a man that he'd get it and we'd till it up in his garden. But that's not nourishment. I watched a video about, and I apologize if this offends your sensibilities, but I watched a video about McDonald's. And, well, it was about corn production. And they just chose McDonald's. These guys planted an acre of corn, and they tried to follow that acre of corn from the seed to consumption. And so they went into the McDonald's, and in the McDonald's, the beef were fed corn. The fries were fried in corn oil. The bread, I don't know if it had corn in it or not. The soda had corn syrup. It was all corn. It was all, you know, it was all basically one substance. And, you know, if somebody like, you know, there's been times in my life where I couldn't get enough McDonald's fries. And that's, you know, if and that's what I sought. But even that wasn't good enough. It wasn't enough to sustain me. And so what you seek out in the world, it may be a little bit of nutrient, or it may simply be husk, but you're going to be filled with it. What you give your attention to, that's what you're going to be filled with. And so Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled." Well, there's a scripture in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. in the 19th verse of Proverbs 23, he said, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunken and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." So, drunkenness, gluttony, laziness, that'll lead a man or a woman, that'll lead a young person to poverty and rags. That's what he's saying. He said, "Hearken," in the 22nd verse, "unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You know, as I've grown older, my mother will be 80 this year, I guess. And I've had the privilege of knowing and helping and being around older people. Sister Fisher, I appreciate what you said the other night. I really did. You do have a wonderful gift in that regard, and a lot of us admire you for that. She made the statement how she's looking for another... she's that old person. It's hard for me to say it like that. Elderly person. Of course, I know she didn't mean nothing by that. And I'm just teasing a little bit. But you know, there's a lot of kids today. There's a lot of people today in this world that are just content to seek their own cause and not be mindful of mom and dad. They're just an afterthought. And I'm going to tell you, from my experience, you know, caring for someone who is dying, if you will, it's hard. It takes an incredible sacrifice. And it's hard on everybody. I admire Brother and Sister Smith for their sacrifice and care for his mother. It's important to me. I appreciate that significantly. And he said, "Forsake and despise not thy mother when she is old." But notice this next verse. He said, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." I was thinking about that word "buy" the other day. And, you know, you'd think, when somebody says "buy," you know, you break out, Brother Crafton, you break out a $2 bill. Brother Mike Crafton likes $2 bills. You break out the debit card, or you break out, you know, your pocket change, or you, you know, you get out your folding money, or whatever, whatever you call your currency. When you think of going to buy something, you go to the store, you get on Amazon.com, or you go to the yard sale, or you know, you're going to go where you're going to purchase it. Now they got things you can put on your phone where you can scan a credit card right on your phone. Some churches even take debit cards and credit cards. I don't know if they've got readers in there or not. I never thought about that. ATMs in their foyer. So I was thinking about that word "buy." Well, if it's just currency, then it'd be easy, right? Well, it'd be easier for the rich. If you're just buying something, it'd be easy for the rich. So I got to look at that word, and you know the word, I thought, Lord, that says "buy," but does it mean "buy"? The word itself means obtain. Obtain. When you obtain something, when you obtain it, you have it. It's you know, it's your value. It's your valuables. You cherish it. You may put it in a safe deposit box, or you may put it in a safe, or hide it in a secret place, or keep it close to you, like we all do with our cell phones. Right? We've obtained our cell phones, and we cherish them greatly. It said, buy the truth, or obtain the truth, and sell it not. I was thinking about that in relation to Brother Smith's message the other day on the five wise and the five foolish. Why couldn't the five foolish buy oil? Why didn't the five wise give away their oil? Why couldn't they just give it away? They obtained it. They obtained it. They, you know, what's that old saying? I got my money the old-fashioned way. I earned it. They earned it. They paid a price for it. They treasured it. They valued it. And there wasn't anything that the five foolish could have offered them that was worth more than the truth, than the oil that they had in their lamps. Truth of the matter is, the five foolish didn't have enough valuables in their pocket. They didn't have enough to buy. They had to go earn it. Their pocket, Sister Stewart, is probably full of husk. Their pockets are probably full of, you know, residual, just little dirt and pocket lint. They didn't have enough to go buy the truth, but here he said to buy the truth. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Well, Jesus was dealing with a young man in the 10th chapter of Mark. That resembles me sometimes. Mark 10 and 17. It's a rich man. You know, Brother Talley, when I met this people as a young man, I didn't have anything. I had a little bit of truth. I had no history. I didn't have any family that was in the body of Christ. All I had was me. That's all I had. I just had a willing heart. I walked into a service like we did today and heard a band strike a note. Wow. Never heard that before. I heard a pianist, a sister, get on the piano, start singing a chorus. I was used to songbooks and, chorus and verse, and we're done. Begin to sing a chorus similar to that, like today, more of you. Sing it once. Okay, you sing it twice. They're kind of going long. Sing it three times. You start thinking about the words. Sing it four times. Starts meaning. It has, you know, begins to have meaning. It begins to become personal to you. Yeah, that is really what I want. More of you. You know, I've had my fill of all this other stuff, and I've tried my own way, and I really do want more of you, Lord. That's how I felt. I met this people. I came in, began to hear things. I began to empty out the pocket lint. I began to empty out the, you know, habits that I had in my life, bad habits, even as a teenage boy. I began to empty those things. I began to shed those things off of me. And those little pearls of wisdom, that truth that I was hearing, I began to put that in my pocket. Began to earn it. I sat in a service, or I participate, or Spirit of God would move in, and I'd lift my hands, and you know, these two hands right here are antennas. These two hands right here are your antennas. You know, and sometimes you can feel God You know, you got great reception. Sometimes that reception's a little, you know, a little static. You're not quite tuned in. You're not, you hadn't quite found the right channel. Sometimes you gotta, you know, gotta get those antennas up high. Sometimes you gotta get the dial set. Sometimes you gotta fine-tune that dial on your heart. You gotta get your ears and your mind to where you just have zoned. You just kind of tune everything else out. You just kind of forget about all this other noise that's going on around you. Sometimes you just gotta get yourself in a condition to where, Lord, I want what you've got, and I don't care what anybody else or anybody else thinks or says or does or what's going on in the world today. I just want to touch you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Well, when you do that, you're buying the truth. When you get yourself in a condition like that, when you shed all that extra weight, you shed all those things that are holding you down, when you shed and you forsook all those things that you cared about just 10 minutes prior, when you forsook all those things that mattered to you just 5 seconds ago, and now the only thing that matters to you is touching God, then you've gotten rid of something and you've given God a place to put His truth. You know, I didn't learn that on my own. I learned that from saints of God. I learned that from people that had already bought the truth. I learned that from people. And you know what? They didn't come up to me and say, I mean, they did when I was receiving the Holy Ghost. They'd, here, lift your hands up. You know, they'd give me instruction. That's important. But when you get to that point, we was praying for this boy one time from Benton Harbor, Michigan, to get the Holy Ghost. And he wore us out. It was at the campground. And he, every night, and he wanted it. I know he wanted the Holy Ghost, Brother Oates, but he wore us out. It was just hour after hour after hour. You know, and we told him everything. If I thought Brother Weininger, if standing on his head would have mattered, I'd have told him to stand on his head. But much like you, Brother Weininger, he, and much like me, he had to reach a place in his life where whatever it was that he was holding on to that was so valuable to him, he finally reached a place in his life where he just got rid of that. He said, I don't even want that anymore. It's not worth it. It's not worth holding on to. It's not worth keeping possession of. Lord, the only thing I want is you in my life. Hallelujah. And he come through speaking in an unknown tongue, just like I did. Just like all God's children that are born again will speak in an unknown tongue, just like we read about today. Just like the Jews did in the second chapter of Acts. Just like the Gentiles did in the 10th chapter of Acts. Well, you know, like I said, I didn't learn. I saw people. Boy, you see some people come up front. My Lord, they just throw their hands up in the air, speaking in unknown tongues, drunk in the Spirit, just like it was easy. It was easy for them. Why? Because they bought the truth. They bought it, hook, line, and sinker. They know. They know that there's truth in that. If you'll surrender to God, He'll fill you. They bought it. They believed it. And when the Lord moved, you know, it's just like the crippled man laying there by the pool of Bethesda. Jesus come along. He said, wilt thou be whole? He said, how can I be whole? He said, there's no one here to help me get in the pool. Oh, God. He said, there's no one here to help me get in the pool. You know, we feel like that sometimes. You may feel like that today. You may feel like that lame man laying there beside the pool. You may feel like there's no one here to help you get in when the angel stirs the water. Jesus said, "Will thou believe?" And he reached out his hand, and the man was made ever with whole. Whatever he was holding on to, whatever was holding him back, Brother Tally, whatever was holding him down on the ground, whatever condition he thought he had, he let it go. He let it go. He emptied out his pockets. He emptied out his mind. He emptied out the things that were holding him back. And he focused. He set his sight on Jesus. And he said, "Make me whole." Woo! The Bible says that he bowed to his feet. Hallelujah. There wasn't nothing holding that man back. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. He bought it, didn't he? Hook, line, and sinker. You know, and I'm not talking about being a gullible fish. You know, I'm not talking about, and that was a nice, Brother Michael Smith, that made me jealous. That big old picture you posted on Facebook, big old fish holding in his arm. You know, holding it up. That made me want to go fishing. You know, that's just like in here, though. You see somebody get blessed? You see somebody get blessed? Oh, that makes you want to get blessed. You see somebody laughing? We've had that a time or two. You see somebody laughing in the spirit and can't, you know, doubled over laughing? You think, "Now I want what they got." See them laughing and joyful, happy in the Holy Ghost. Boy, that provokes you, don't it? You see somebody that can just touch the Lord. See somebody going through a hard time and still they can walk up, you know, with great humility and just pray for me. I need a touch from God. Whew. Tears start rolling down their cheeks. You felt it. You know what I'm talking about. Them hot tears rolling down your face. Quiver inside your heart. That hunger begins to well up. You start thinking about, "Oh, if I could just feel God. I wonder if God would forgive me for what I did. I wonder if he still even pays attention." You see somebody up here and you see them getting blessed. You can buy that. You can buy it. They can't give you what they got, but they can lead you by example. They can show you how to get it for yourself. That's what they did for me. Oh, yeah, many times. As a young boy, I've told this before. Boy, they'd go saying John 3:16, sinner's prayer. Brother Tally, they couldn't get forgiveness for my sins. But they could show me how to get forgiveness for my sins. And they did. Many times people would get down on their knees and they'd pray with me. They would say the sinner's prayer with me. They showed me how to do it. They showed me how to ask the Lord to forgive me of all my sins, all my weaknesses, all my iniquities. David said, "Even my secret faults, forgive me, Lord. Even the things that I'm doing wrong that I don't even know I'm doing wrong. Please forgive me, Lord. And come into my life and be my personal Savior. Be my friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, God, redeem me from sin, from death." They'd pray with me. Show me how to do it. People come up here and get prayed for. Sometimes you get prayed for because you feel a need. You don't always know if it's a need for you. So I've stood in prayer for people before because I knew they were in a need. I want to encourage you. Don't fail to exercise. Don't fail to exercise because somebody is watching you. Somebody is reading your book. Somebody is looking at your light, your life. They're counting on you. They're depending upon you to show them how it's done. They're counting on the fact that you've already bought the truth. And you're showing them how to buy the truth. So in the 10th chapter of Mark here, there was a young man, 17th verse, said, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's a good question. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's a fair question. But Jesus rebuked him. How would you like that? I wouldn't like it very well, I can tell you right now. When you go ask a man, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, why callest thou me good? You know, Jesus corrected him just like that. Whew. He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, I don't exactly know why Jesus did that, but reading into the scriptures, it appears to me that the man, that Jesus was able to interpret the man's intentions. He knew the man's heart. And I'll prove that here. He said, thou knowest the commandments in the 19th verse, do not commit adultery. Okay, this man was not guilty, it seems, of committing adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. But notice this next one right here. Defraud not. I kind of think the young man was guilty of fraud. When he came in and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I kind of think that maybe he was the kind of guy that knew how to manipulate people. Oh, my good friend. You know, he was the kind of guy that knew how to, you know, sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo in Alaska. He was the kind of guy that knew how to, you know, and you guys, and I'm careful here because I admire this quality in a lot of people. But there's a difference between seeking your wealth or seeking to take your wealth. There's a difference, okay? So I'm not really touching on that, and so bear with me, if you will, and give me the benefit of the doubt. But I really think that this guy here was trying to butter Jesus up, if you will, trying to, you know, oh, good master, you know, like he was going to find political favor with him. Kind of like, who was it, Simon the sorcerer? When the apostles were going around healing and people being received with the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, what did he want to do? He wanted to pay money for it to get that gift, right? Y'all remember the story in the book of Acts? And the apostle said, thy money perish with thee. Thou hast no part in this. Well, Simon the sorcerer was guilty of fraud. He was wanting to put himself off as being a great healer by purchasing it with a gift. Well, you can't do that. You cannot, you know, as much as we talk about it, you can't raise somebody from the dead. You can't heal somebody. You can't make money come out of a fish's mouth like Jesus did. You can't fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. You can't make the sun to stand still in the sky. You can't make, you know, the lights to go out or whatever. You can't perform miracles. But God can. And God through you can. God uses people, right? Just like He uses our musicians to help us get our mind in the right frame where we can receive what He has. Well, this man, he said, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. So whether he secured his money by fraud, I don't know. Whether he might have been guilty of that. That may have been a weakness in his life. But he answered him and he said, Master, all these things have I observed of my youth. That right there probably is as good an indication that he was deceived. He probably didn't even realize he was deceived. But he said, all these things I kept from my mother's youth. Now, you children, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. This idea, see this guy, he said, honor thy father and mother. And here he said, I've done that from my mother's youth, from my youth. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's been many times where I didn't honor my father and mother. But that doesn't mean I'm exempt from doing it now. I still have to do it now. Even if I didn't do it then, I need to do it now. And so I really think that this guy was guilty of fraud. Lying, deceiving, you know, he might have been deceived, but he said, Jesus said, well, okay. He loved him. He said unto him, he said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. Okay, so look at this scripture right here. That scripture right there defines how to buy the truth. But it's not with money. Brother McGowan, we live better today than the kings did. Now think about this a minute. We sometimes we watch these shows about, you know, ancient England or you know, ancient Europe and the kings and the queens and how that they lived, and you know, not one of the kings of old had electric heat. They couldn't just go turn a dial up and get electric heat. They didn't have soda. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't, you know, they couldn't just go down the street and eat in any restaurant that they wanted to. They couldn't just hop in a car and, you know, fly or in a plane and jet across the world. They couldn't just get in a car and go 40, 50 miles. They were riding around in horse-drawn wagons. And I mean, can you imagine being a king? Okay, let's say you're a king. And you've got to go 50 miles to whatever. Say you want to go 50 miles to eat somewhere. Yeah, call me, ready my horse or my carriage. So you get out and you get off the well-manicured lawn of the castle, if you had that, and you get out on these country roads and now your wheels are bogged in the mud. Well, how come we're not moving? Get this wagon moving. I'm the king. We live better than the kings do. When we go to leave out of here, we've got nice paved roads. We just get on down the road. If a king came today, we'd be waving at him like, whatever, dude. You think you're a king? We got it better than you do, than you've ever known it. So, buying the truth, selling all that you have, sell all that you have. Sell your house or car and your 401k. Sell it all, everything you got, except the clothes on your back. That's not going to buy the truth. That's not going to buy the truth. He said, give it all away. Just give it all away. Give it to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. That's where the truth comes. That's where the truth comes. Is when you... Why do we wear suits in church? It's not because we're pretending to be somebody. That's not it. We don't wear a tie because we're pretending to be somebody. We're giving our best to the Lord. You know, I've bought many a suit at the Goodwill or yard sales or had them handed down. We're presenting our best. You go out to dinner, you put on your nice clothes. I can remember, you know, as a kid, you know, I might have got church clothes once or twice a year. Maybe, you know, a pair of pants and a shirt, and that's what I wore to church on Sunday, and I better not mess them up. New shoes every year. Now you Now you can get shoes everywhere. Well, people throw shoes out on the road. I've never picked any up, but I've thought about it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, but we're not pretending to be somebody, you know, highfalutin. That's not who we are. And if we, if oh God, I hope this doesn't come true, but if God required us to wear, you know, flour sacks and whatever, overalls, and that's the best we had, that's what I'd wear, sackcloths and overalls. If that was what God required, yeah, Lord, help us. By the truth, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Now, come on, think about that a minute. How do you learn to play an instrument? Practice. Now, first time you blow that horn or peck on a piano or whatever, you're not going to be a skilled musician. You buy it with time, with energy, with dedication, with focus. You fill yourself up with the things that matter to learning how to play that instrument. A master mechanic, he'll take time and learn the intricate, you know, details of how it all works together and all that's required for everything to come together and work in harmony. You don't get it overnight. You can't just give somebody a wrench and make them a wrench and a screwdriver and make them a master mechanic. It takes time. They get interested in it and they learn and they focus and they dedicate themselves to it. Do you know, what's that? The Bible says that you can't serve two masters. I find that in my life. I do. I find that for me. It troubles me sometimes. My attention gets divided, and God doesn't get it enough of it. I recognize that. You buy the truth with your life. You take up your cross. This is me. See, this is me. This is me taking up my cross. This is me. I'm not particularly thrilled with my responsibilities. Brother Smith's out of town, and I'd much rather he be here working and laboring among us. But I'm taking up my cross because this is what was asked of me, and I'm willing. Whatever the circumstance may be. Brother Upshaw, we're glad that you took up your cross today. Walked through those doors. Said, I'm willing to go. I'll be led by God. I enjoyed the breakfast this morning. I appreciate Brother and Sister Brian. I think they were here this morning and got the gravy and biscuits ready. Hey, that was great. Somebody's here to turn the lights on and, you know, granted, we got folks that are out of town. You know, we understand that. But, Brother Mark, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you took up your cross. I am. You know, I miss the ones that are gone, but, Brother John, they're coming back. They're not mad. You know what I mean? They're coming back, Brother Paul. The ones that aren't here today, they'll be back. Hey, you know what? And they're going to take up their cross and encourage us, too. We are family of God. We're buying the truth. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Well, what he's saying is don't let anything more, don't let anything have more value than the truth. Maybe I can illustrate it like this. You buy a house, man, you buy that house, that's the greatest house. You're so glad to get that house. First house, oh, I got a house! Fine, you know, and it's, you know, two broken windows and doors hanging off the hinges and, you know, oh, I'm sorry, Gladys, I'm describing mine. I bought a house. You're just so excited. I bought a house. Hallelujah. Plumbing, you start having trouble with the plumbing, and you start seeing all the things that the previous owner didn't tell you about. And then you think, buy the house and sell it not. Well, you can't sell it because you're in a 30-year mortgage, and it takes you 10 years to get up to where you got some equity in it. Buy the house and sell it. That's not what the scripture says. But that's what we do. We hang on to that house until we can get some equity in it, right? Fix it up. You know, I was reading about this house. My Lord, I can't even imagine. 2,800 square feet. Got, you know, it's so many, two-story on a full acre. $39,000. Handyman's dream. I said, no, that ain't. That's a handyman's nightmare. Woo! That's a handyman's funeral is what that is. My Lord. 2,800 square feet. Never been finished. Held together by the termites. So you want a termite inspection? Oh, God, no. No termite inspection. House will fall down. Well, you rock along there in that nice house, and then you get to wanting something a little nicer. Different neighborhood or whatever. You know, like me. Hey, I thought I needed land and work and mowing, tree trimming. Yeah, I didn't need all that. So you buy the house, you sell the house, you buy another house. But you've got equity in it, so you take the equity out of the house that you sold to buy the new one, right? That's how it works. Well, you don't do that with the truth. You don't sell out your truth to get better truth. If you're able to do that, then what you had wasn't true. If you're able to forsake the truth that you had for something better, then what you had to begin with was, you know, that old story of the gold ball and the gold-plated ball. You know, if you can think animation, two balls talking to each other. It's possible in today's world. Bouncing down the road in a box, aren't you worried? You know, the one that's gold-plated said, aren't you worried that your finish is going to rub off, all this vibration rubbing together, going to rub the gold finish off? And said, the one that's solid gold said, no, I'm not worried a bit. I'm gold through and through. Through and through. If the truth that you have is gold-plated, it's not worth very much. But if the truth that you have is solid, undeniable, unquestionable truth, you don't let that go because there's nothing else more valuable. That's what he said. That's what he said there in Proverbs. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Get knowledge. Buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Forsake it not. Obtain the truth and forsake it not. That's what it's talking about. Obtain the truth and forsake it not. If you find yourself today in a situation where you just don't know the answer or where to find the answer, I would encourage you to find the truth in your life. Find the moments in your life that you know are true. Through and through. That moment when you threw your hands up in the air. That moment when you surrendered everything in your life. That moment when you had your antenna stretched so high that all the noise, all the distraction, all the frustration in your life, when all that faded, when all that disappeared from your view, that moment of truth, when it was you and God, and you were talking to him, and he was listening. Find that moment. Find that moment. That moment of truth. And build upon it. God loves us today. He really does love us. He'll bear witness in your life. He will. He'll prove to you that He loves you more than anybody. He'll prove to you that there is none greater. He'll prove to you that the truth that He gives you is worth obtaining and not forsaking. Buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Praise God. Praise God. We have several that are out today. I think the Fishers, are they in Texas? Sister Fisher, thank you. They're in Dallas. Business and family, it's good it worked out like that. Brother and Sister Smith are in Louisville, I think. They will. Okay, good. I'll be here tonight. And Caleb is in Louisville also. And Brother Jaron is homesick today. Let's remember him. Zach and Joanne are in Boston on business trip. Pray that they'll have a safe return. Is there any other? Okay, good. Brother Dotson's up visiting his brothers up in Missouri. That's good. Brother Durham, I mentioned him. He went home with a sick headache. He's had a headache since since midnight, he told me. So let's remember him. God would give him some relief. Are there any other requests we need to make note, Sister Cindy? Oh, well. Remember Brother Andy Hazlett. Oh, that's right, Sister Tiffany. We're sorry for your loss. Remember your family? She lost her aunt, I think. Okay. Sister Lynette? Oh, Sister Holly? Yeah. Remember Sister Holly? Sister Inez says. Well, we'll pray for you this week too, Sister Inez. Remember her. She has treatment coming up in about a week or so. Remember Brother and Sister Crow and their needs? Sister Crow can't walk without a walker. Let's continue to pray for them, for sure. Sister McGowan, let's pray for her too. She's got an insect bite or something that's holding her back. How do you manage, Brother McGowan? How do you manage when you must feel like you've just got all kinds of liberty with Sister McGowan kind of holding back a little bit? We all know that she keeps you in line. Oh, that's it. She's got that list going, huh? Yeah. Monday through Friday job. All right. Let's pray for Sister Holly to find a new job. Monday through Friday. Yes. Brother Crafton suffering with back problems. I've got a, this is a little funny, man I work for, he come up to me, he said, Nathan, he said, would you like a new job? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, one of them jobs where you get a company car, and 4 weeks vacation, and a pay raise. Yeah, sign me up. He said, if you do that again, he said, you're going to get a chance to look for one of them jobs. If you do that again, you're going to get a chance to look for one of them jobs. Sister Abraham. Remember her grandson Jonathan. Okay, very good. Any other requests? The ushers will prepare. Brother and Sister Wallace's children. Enjoyed your testimony, Brother Wallace. Very much. And Brother Daniel's missing him today. Yeah, for sure. Let's all let's stand, take these knees before the Lord, and receive tithes and offerings this morning as well. Praise God. Blessed Lord Jesus. Oh God, we love you today, and we thank you for this privilege and opportunity that you provided us. We know that there's none greater than you, and our hope, our strength, our refuge is found in you, Lord. We bring our loved ones and our friends before you, Lord. Great confidence that you will hear our cry and meet their needs, Lord, according to your will and for your glory. Jesus, watch over the ministry and the saints of God here in this assembly. Brother and Sister Smith, as they're traveling home. Brother and Sister Crow, Lord, you know their needs tonight. Help Brother Daniels, dear God, I pray. Give him healing. Brother Crafton. Help Brother Durham, dear Lord. Touch his body, Lord. Give him deliverance from that sickness. Oh, mighty God. Help those that have lost their loved ones, dear Lord Jesus. Those that are needing better jobs. Oh, God, bless this offering. Bless this congregation, Lord Jesus. Stir up our minds, Lord, that we'll seek and hunger for you. Put all these other things aside. Praise your blessed name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Love so rich, so full and free.
Praise God. Band practice at 4 tonight, and worship service is at 5. So hope you all have a nice dinner, and we'll see you back here at 4 or 5 o'clock. God bless.